All right. Good morning, everyone. How are you all? So I don't know about you, but last week I was blessed by Craig's message from Proverbs 5, and I'm so excited to hear others who will preach for us over the course of the summer. I'm thankful that Nathan and Carrie invited me and trusted me enough to preach this morning, and I hope that together our hearts would be open to receiving some wise words from Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs. So about 2 weeks ago, over Memorial Day weekend, I traveled to Kentucky, where I'm from originally, and it was great. We spent time, I spent time with my family playing badminton, and we spent all of our time hanging out as a family, since that was the first time that I had been to Kentucky since the new year. Well, all of a sudden, toward the end of the weekend, my twin sister decided that it would be fun if we were to take a trip to Natural Bridge. Natural Bridge is a historic, Sam, you can go ahead and show the slide. It's a historic landmark in Kentucky that's super popular for hikers and families. They go and they journey together up the mountainside and walk across the bridge. The only catch is it's a mountain, which means that you have to hike straight up the side of the mountain to get to the top of the bridge to walk across. So when my sister threw this idea out to my parents and myself, we just kind of looked at her with awe, thinking, in theory, this sounds great. But practically speaking, this will be a struggle. For me, my part-time desk job and my life as a full-time student at McAfee School of Theology, who sits in the classroom for most of the day, didn't exactly prepare me to hike up this mountain. But we agreed, with resistance, to take her up on the offer. So we traveled to the Red River Gorge, where Natural Bridge is, and we began hiking up the trail. We had all that we needed, or we thought we did. I was wearing my tennis shoes and my athletic gear. I had my water bottle and my phone to take a great photo for Facebook when we got to the top, and I assumed that I was set. We start walking, and after several steps, we came across a sign that said 0.25 miles. And at this sign, we decided that it was a good time to take a break. So we take a break for a minute or so. Then we walk a little farther, only to stumble upon a sign that says 0.5 miles. And again, we think, what a great time to take a break. What a great opportunity to take a minute. By the time we had arrived at the 0.5 mile sign, we were all sweating. Our breathing was picking up speed, but our feet were slowing down. And we were beginning to lose the positive attitude, and we were thinking about how easy it would be to turn around and march straight back to the car. But my sister, the voice of wisdom on the trip, kept telling us, "You're so close, and you're doing so well." She told us that the view would be worth it, that we would feel good and healthy after climbing all the way to the top. Now, she was being generous with us, but I'm sure what she was really thinking was, what's the deal? Why is this seemingly simple hike taking such a toll on them? Nevertheless, we kept stepping and pressing on up the side of the mountain, walking a little ways and taking a 30-second break. Walking and breaking, until finally, we had made it. And after taking a deep breath and breathing a sigh of relief, I looked up, and my sister was right. The view was stunning. But what was even more impressive was the fact that she didn't give up on us. When we wanted to give up and when we felt like we were going to pass out from heat exhaustion or that pesky Kentucky humidity, she kept speaking words of encouragement and life over us. She kept using her words to give good advice to our spirit. I wish I could say that everyone was like my sister in that sense, speaking words of life to those in need when they need to hear a word of encouragement most. But the sheer fact that Solomon writes about the need to speak life lets us know that many were not speaking words of wisdom in his day. Proverbs, a text written by Solomon, the son of David, was initially written for the people of Israel. Solomon wrote to them because he wanted them to live godly lives and make good choices with the words of their mouth. He wanted them to listen to the short sayings that he was writing and apply them to their daily lives. He wrote to them and he explained how a gentle answer could deflect anger and how their harsh words could make someone's temper flare. He told them that the Lord was watching over them and what they were saying, and that a deceitful tongue could crush the spirit, and I might add the heart, of someone. He let them know that the words that rolled off of their tongue could be foolish or destructive, or they could be good. So good, in fact, that they could be life-giving. With gentle words, they could produce a tree of life that would bear fruit, a tree that would grow up in the way of righteousness. In Proverbs 15, we hear a voice of wisdom telling us that what we say matters, that what we speak from our mouths has the power to speak life or death. In Scripture, we see life spoken into being. In the creation narrative, we see God speaking into existence, the creation out of the nothingness. In Psalms, we hear David praising the Lord with words of worship. In the New Testament, we hear Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount and speaking words of wisdom to his followers, speaking words of healing. We know from the Scriptures that his words produced many miracles. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering, he says to the woman with the issue of blood. I am willing, be clean, he says as he reaches out and touches the man with leprosy. Jesus calls us to follow him and to use our words to promote life, just as he did. When we look around, we can see brokenness all around us. We see people who are hurting in our midst by the words that cut deep, by words that are untruthful and just plain hurtful. And the words of Proverbs are for us. They are begging us to speak life. We know what it looks like to speak death and hatred and ill wishes towards someone. You can turn on the TV or stop at the local Quick Trips or Kroger and hear nasty and malicious words spoken. But man, speaking life is something new, something different, something harder, and something that's holier than what we're used to. Just as God created all of creation by speaking it into being, and as Jesus performed many miracles of healing with his words, we too can join in on the work of God and speak life to our neighbors who need to hear a word of life from God. Now, my sister, she probably didn't realize it at the time, but she was speaking life over us as we hiked up the mountainside, telling us that we should keep going and keep moving. And in the same way, God has spoken life over us, over you and I, over our situations and our uphill battles. And somehow, by the grace of God, we are encouraged to keep going. The fact that you and I are here this morning is a testament of that life-giving grace. God calls us, just as God has spoken life over us, to speak life into the hearts of our neighbors, to reach out to the brokenhearted as Jesus did, and to those who think that they can't go on, and tell them to keep moving, that life has so much to offer them, and that God is challenging them to bear fruit, challenging them to speak words of hope and of kindness, of joy and of faith. We are called to tell people about Christ who performed miracles with his words. Christ has spoken life over our desperate hearts, and in this moment, Christ has given us an opportunity to do the same for another. An opportunity. A moment in time where the grace of God is able to be seen, to be heard, to be witnessed and lived out in the here and now through the words that we speak. Last week, Carrie told us more about Tony and Jeremy, members of this church who are currently imprisoned. And as I think about them, I think about the word of encouragement that they need to hear from us and how we as a church can speak life and truth to them, letting them know that they are loved and missed by this church. Folks, we have an opportunity, a choice to speak words of life or words of death. I thought I would read a few lyrics from a song that speaks to today's message. It's on the contemporary Christian radio station, so you might recognize it. It goes something like this. Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Though it's crazy, amazing that we can turn a heart with the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, and hope can live or die. So speak life, to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted and watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love. You speak life. Lift your head a little higher and spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. And joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the words that you say. May these words be true of us this morning. May we speak life to the brokenhearted with our words and with our actions.